Good morning, everyone. I'd like to convene the meeting. I'd like to call to order the meeting of Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Access Committee for Friday the 9th at 9:40 a.m. Roll call, please.
Chair Perkins.
Here.
Vice Chair Arascada.
There.
Regent McMichael.
Here.
Regent Moran.
Yes, good morning.
Regent Tarkanian.
Present.
You have a quorum present.
Thank you. We're going to go right into public comment. I would like to have everyone just line up in the essence of time. And please, if the person before you has made similar remarks, just say ditto and make sure that you're being very succinct. And is there any public comment in Las Vegas?
For the record, Erica Arbayo, pronouns she, her, Aya, representative of Nevada State College, as an alum and community resource coordinator for the Office of Community Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion. I stand before you today to speak in support of the agenda item 3, which speaks on the anti-discrimination resolution. I would like to emphasize that as members of the Nevada System of Higher Education, we all make up the fabric of our community. The human experience to rise above oppression takes more strength than meets the eye, not just from the individual, but from the community as a whole. Nevada State College experienced a tearing of the fabric through the felt intentions of discrimination from the past board meetings earlier this year. To give perspective on the matter, 74% of the student population and 42% of the faculty and staff identify from communities of color. Additionally, according to the 2020 census, our state diversity index is currently at 61% and up from 54.9%. This is a telling story that not only will these numbers grow over time, but that we depend on the educational outcomes as it impacts our own communal well-being. I have seen firsthand how DEI efforts affect positive decision-making in various departments regarding business, policy, safety, and most importantly, our future investments with each other. Now is the time to take action. The anti-discrimination resolution serves as a patch that is needed to repair what was torn from our dignity as a whole and to guide us to better future outcomes regarding our educational and working environments. Thank you for your time. I ask that you strongly consider voting in support of the anti-discrimination resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further public comment in Las Vegas? Any public comment in Reno?
There's no public comment in Reno.
Thank you. Any public comment in Elko?
Hello, Edith Fernandez, long and standing member of the IDEA Council and Vice President of Nevada State. Let us all hear out loud the principles we ask our regents to uphold. The NSHE Board of Regents Anti-Discrimination Resolution reads, whereas the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education is vested with the public's trust in fulfilling NSHE's core strategic mission and commitment to higher education, research, and public service in Nevada by advancing a system-wide equity platform and elevating inclusivity and accessibility of all persons participating in any NSHE-sponsored activities or events, including the board's public meetings. Whereas the board, recognizing its resounding responsibility to the NSHE community, the state of Nevada, and its higher education families throughout the nation to denounce any words or actions of discriminatory intent or effect. And such efforts are exemplified by the leadership and representations of its regents. And whereas the board celebrates its majority-minority student population with federally designated Hispanic-serving institutions, minority-serving institutions, and Asian American and Native American Pacific Islander-serving institution. And whereas the board stated and practiced guiding principles confirm there shall be no difference in the treatment of any members of the NSHE community, including students, employees, and members of the Board of Regents because of race, including hair texture and protective hairstyles such as natural hairstyles, afros, bantu knots, curls, braids, locks, and twists. Ethnicity, color, national origin, religion, age, sex, gender, gender identity or expression, genetic information, sexual orientation, military status, or the military obligations, or physical or intellectual ability or disability, and there shall be no difference in the treatment of persons who file charges of discrimination or harassment, participate in discrimination or harassment proceedings, or otherwise oppose discrimination or harassment. Whereas the board has committed itself to the principles of equity through the establishment of the board idea committee, which recommends policies to the board to create, enhance, promote, and support an educational and working environment that fosters cultural and ethnic inclusion, diversity, equity, and access for all students, faculty, and staff. Whereas the board has further established the Chancellor's Idea Council, comprised of the chief diversity officers from each NSHE institution, to recommend, encourage, research, communicate, advocate, and recommend goals and policies.
Thank you. We have the resolution in front of us. This seems a little bit repetitious. But next.
Thank you, Chair Frickins. For the record, Yvonne Allen, TMCC, and Idea Council. Whereas the board acknowledges, appreciates, respects the challenges, the experiences, challenges, outcomes, and for historically underserved and marginalized groups, such as people of color, those who experience poverty, homelessness, or foster kinship care, those who identify as LGBTQ+, those who are differently abled, those who experience immigration challenges, and those who experience neurodivergent conditions. And whereas the board recognizes that racism, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, xenophobia, misogyny, and other hateful ideologies based on race, ethnicity, national origin, religion, sex, gender, gender identity or expression, sexual orientation, age, or physical or mental ability, disregard of human life, dignity in life, derogatory references, and apathy regarding these inequitable experiences and outcomes perpetuate a system which students, faculty, and staff from these historically underserved and marginalized groups are oppressed and attacked through explicit racist or discriminatory actions, language, implicit bias, and microaggressions. And whereas the NSHE community, the state of Nevada, and our nation's future requires that systemic bias and institutional discrimination be dismantled. And whereas the board's commitment to equity and inclusivity and disavowal of discrimination through the use of strengths-based language, training, research, and education will serve as key levers in dismantling systemic bias and discrimination and institutional racism, and increase cultural awareness, sensitivity, and training to ensure all members of the NSHE community are supported to thrive and excel. And whereas the board values its pledge to freedom of expression consistent with the First Amendment for open inquiry, debate, and discourse without interference, including the freedom to criticize, contest, and condemn views expressed on campus without obstructing, disrupting, suppressing, or otherwise interfering with the freedom of others to express views they reject, and the board's contempt for discrimination as set forth in this resolution is not intended to discourage NSHE's core function of promoting rational discussion, inquiry, discovery, and the dissemination of knowledge. And whereas the board strives to ensure a safe and inclusive campus and system environment for all students, faculty, and staff to learn, live, and work free from harassment on the basis of discrimination. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further public comment?
Continuing from Yvonne, for the record, Juana Reynosa Gomez, pronouns she, her, ella, Idea Council. Therefore, be it resolved, the board strongly condemns all discriminatory and racist language, hate speech, references, and actions in all NSHE-sponsored activities and events, including public meetings, and be it therefore resolved, the Board of Regents are dedicated to lifelong learning and teachings related to inclusion, diversity, equity, and access, and believe there is no better platform
for these values and systems and institutions of higher education, to denounce discrimination and loud inclusivity, and be it therefore resolved, students, faculty, and staff of the NSG are encouraged and empowered to report any discriminatory incidents or actions without fear of retribution or retaliation, and be it further resolved that NSG board members will uphold these principles and encourage education through anti-racist, anti-bias training for the board and members of the NSG community. The resolution is agreed to by. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the record, Christine Beaudry, BEAUDRY, Associate Professor of Social Studies Education at Nevada State. Good morning, Regents and attendees. I'm here today to support the NSG Board of Regents anti-discrimination resolution. I speak to you with nearly 20 years of experience in public education, first as a licensed teacher who worked in public schools, and now as a teacher educator and researcher, working to support future and current educators. Decades of educational research has continually affirmed the importance of explicitly anti-racist and anti-discriminatory education at all levels. In their 2020 statement in support of anti-racist education, the American Educational Research Association, the largest national interdisciplinary research association devoted to the scientific study of education, noted, "Evidence demonstrates that exposure to diversity of ideas and open inquiry about them leads all persons to better learning, more consensual decision-making, and a deeper appreciation of oneself and others. And evidence also tells us that we have much more work to do to elevate understanding of racism in U.S. society. The evidence suggests that addressing issues of race and racism requires a level of candor not often experienced in workplace and education. Today, we must stand against the notion that systemic racism does not exist. Institutions examining their practices, researchers interrogating these issues, or educational programming confronting these topics should be applauded for tackling the most difficult of problems. As our research attests, all of us, regardless of what we do or what we believe, will be better for it. I urge the board to pass the anti-discrimination resolution, to stand in support with educators at every level that engage daily in anti-racist and anti-discriminatory teaching, and to join those institutions that are to be applauded for tackling these issues. All of us will be better for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further public comment in ELCO? Seeing none, I'll move on to Chair's report. Just want to say thank you to staff and everybody who put their hard work in on this resolution. I really appreciate the time and the efforts and the general heavy lift that had to happen for this resolution to come forward. And with that, I would like to invite Dr. Marcela Rodriguez-Campo, Director of the Office of Community Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion from NSC, to talk to us about some microaggressions. Chair.
Hello. There we are.
We all
for the record. For the record, Dr. Marcela Rodriguez-Campo, pronouns she, her, ella, Director of Community Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion at Nevada State College and advisory member on the Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Access Council. I am a multicultural education immigration community scholar. Thank you to Regent Perkins and the committee for the invitation to present to the IDEA Committee on an overview of microaggressions. First, I'd like to begin with some context. What is a microaggression? There are different types of microaggressions, but today I want you to focus on two words, microaggressions and macroaggressions. Microaggressions are brief, often commonplace, daily, verbal, and nonverbal behavioral and environmental indignities, whether intentional or not, that communicate hostile, derogatory, or negative slights and insults towards members from a historically oppressed group. What some folks would compare to death by a thousand cuts, what Williams and other scholars have begun calling a spirit murder. I'll offer some examples of microaggressions that have been directed my way over the years to offer some context. When walking around a store, for example, I've oftentimes and on occasion been told, empty your pockets and go, or have been followed, presuming I was a thief simply for existing in a space. Despite being a straight-A student, my high school counselor would regularly ask me throughout my schooling in CCSD, are you going to drop out yet? Presuming I was incapable of pursuing college, and boy, was she wrong. Despite being a licensed English public school teacher, strangers have oftentimes said to me, but you speak English so well, and you are so articulate. Presumed incompetent, regardless of my own merits. Regardless of the intention, microaggressions have harmful impacts. Macroaggressions, on the other hand, impact an entire community or group, oftentimes in the form of hateful rhetoric, policy systems, or structures. You can think of microaggressions as individual experiences versus macroaggressions or whole group experiences with racism, homophobia, xenophobia. When we commit a microaggression, even more so when we dismiss them, it is not a single moment that we are invoking. We are summoning centuries of history that have included the systematic dispossession, enslavement, massacre, forced miseducation, family separation, and violence inflicted upon communities of color. So let me offer some historical context as well, so that you can be aware of what histories you may be intentionally or unintentionally summoning in your comments and in your behaviors towards communities from historically oppressed groups. For example, enslavement was legal on this continent for 246 years. Segregation, also known as Jim Crow, was legalized for 89 years after slavery was abolished. Boarding schools deculturalized and committed genocide against indigenous children for 100 years on this continent. And since 1954, when separate was no longer considered equal, only 68 years have passed since the U.S. has codified the rights of people of color. And for many more, there are other rights which continue to be contested for today, for women, for trans folks, for First Nation people, for immigrants. The list goes on. Historically, our society has not been inherently equal. And when we microaggress someone, it is not a single moment. We are invoking this legacy of systemic inequity, and we are placing that full weight of that history on the communities that were impacted by these history. Microaggressions are significant both because of their historical context and their clear impact. So what effect do they have, and what does the scholarship say? Psychology scholars like Wong Padun Pat and Burita found that microaggressions insidiously damage self-esteem and are more likely to be internalized than explicit racism. Microaggressions cause chronic stress amongst people of color and produce physical and emotional responses, including increased blood pressure and mental health struggles. I want to specifically echo what Dr. Davidson and Dr. Dickens shared earlier. Microaggressions produce anxiety and depression at higher rates in communities of color. And when we take part in them, we are also committing this harm. Microaggressions impact performance and productivity, which has been demonstrated through research on stereotype threats. And even most recently, neuroscientists have found that the social pain that characterizes microaggressions is not merely a social inconvenience. It activates the same brain circuitry as physical pain. So microaggressions have been referred to as the hidden retention killer for students, for our faculty, and our staff of color, because it impacts their performance, their sense of belonging, their engagement, and ultimately their retention in our institutions. While microaggressions have been widely studied today, I want to specifically emphasize that across disciplines, including psychology, sociology, education, and neuroscience, microaggressions have been found to have an overwhelmingly significant negative and harmful impact on the health, quality of life, and access of people of color and other marginalized communities. So what are we to do about them? For folks from historically dominant groups, listen. Listen to the people from historically minoritized communities and respect the language they prefer you use when referencing them. Your good intentions do not undo harmful impacts. Say sorry. Correct the harm. If you mispronounce someone's name, pronounce it correctly. Ask if they can teach you how to say it. And I really appreciated witnessing that interaction earlier in the previous committee. Use inclusive language, such as gender-neutral words. Y'all means all, y'all. Use words that will allow folks to share with you what their identities are instead of you having to assume. If you forget to use the pronoun someone has identified themselves with, apologize and use the language that they have asked you to use. Next is ask. Ask questions from a place of respect and don't interrogate someone. Be curious rather than assigning value or making a judgment. Language is constantly evolving. If you aren't sure what is appropriate, ask. Do some of your own research. In this day and age, to choose to continue to use outdated or problematic language is a choice. And finally, accountability. Be accountable for your words and your actions. People of color, immigrants, LGBTQ folks, women are not museum artifacts on display for your education. Hold your people accountable, whoever they might be. A favorite question my colleague Omi McCadney reminds us to unpack whether something is a microaggression is, what do you mean by that? Ask that of others. Ask that of yourselves. What do you mean by that? And if you take anything away from today, please remember the following. Microaggressions have significant cumulative negative effects. Please listen to the people from these communities and use the language that they ask you to use. And be accountable for your words and your actions. The anti-discrimination resolution is an excellent step in that direction for the board. As regents representing and leading the Nevada system of higher education, I want to emphasize that the each of you has at your disposal a very large platform with wide reach and has the ability to microaggress entire generations of our communities and ultimately macroaggress them through the policies you develop or uphold. I urge you to be thoughtful and intentional in what messages you communicate. Today, you have been made aware of the power and impact of microaggressions. Henceforth, you are each beholden to your actions and your words. Hold one another accountable to that standard. Our youth and our communities are watching you. Thank you for your time and your willingness to engage with this important issue, and I'm so happy to be able to share additional resources with you and materials upon request, so please reach out if you're interested. Thank you. I'm open to questions.
Are there any questions from the board or anyone in attendance? Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. I really appreciate the comments.
Thank you. And
it was very educational. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm going to go back to public comment because we missed a couple in Las Vegas. Okay.
There's no more public comment in Las Vegas.
Okay. I was told there was two students that wanted to speak. Are they? They're here in Elko. Okay, come on up. And please state your name and your first name, last name, and spell your last name. Thank you.
Can you hear me? Okay, great. Hello, my name is Yvette Machado Tenier. My pronouns are she, her, and Aya. Esteemed regents, thank you for the opportunity to address all of you in this forum. I would like to make a public comment in relation to the subject matter being discussed, but I would like to address a comment that was made in yesterday's agenda item 11 to condemn an unacceptable statement that was made in our public meeting gathered to serve students. Yesterday in the discussion held on agenda 11 regarding the voting ability of newly elected regents, there was a comment made by Regent Boylan referring to a hypothetical person as he, she, or it. And I'm using my voice here to condemn that statement, as no human should be recognized as it. And to the body, as one of the students that you serve, I expect more out of all of you in the face of microaggressive commentary, whether it was intentional or not. Complacency breeds ignorance, and we deserve better, and it takes courage for someone to come and say, hey, no person isn't it. That's it, period. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, I will close public comment. And we're going to move forward to item number 3, Inchi Board of Regents Anti-Discrimination Resolution and Training for Regents for Possible Action. Mr. Tillery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Tillery Williams, Senior Fiscal and Policy Analyst. So I'd like to start by walking you all through what has taken place since the resolution was before this committee in August. So this specific agenda item is two-pronged. So I will briefly cover the changes made to the resolution since the last meeting first. So as this committee is aware, this resolution was last presented at that August 3rd special meeting of the IDEA committee. At that time, this committee approved the resolution with a couple of changes. First, on page 1, paragraph 3, where it discusses equal treatment of all members of the NSHE community, the committee directed staff to change the use of the term protected hairstyles to protective hairstyles to align with the definition of such hairstyles as presented in NRS section 396.530. And second, the committee directed staff to remove the interim tag from the Chief of Staff and Special Counsel to the Board of Regents title at the end of the document to reflect the addition of Mr. Robert Kilroy, our new Chief of Staff and Special Counsel to the Board, to the NSHE team. Welcome, Mr. Kilroy. And additionally, since that meeting, the IDEA Council noticed a factual error in paragraph 3 on page 1 regarding the specific number of federally designated Hispanic-serving institutions, minority-serving institutions, and Asian American and Native American Pacific Islander-serving institutions currently within the system. Thanks to the extremely valuable insight and advice of Chair Perkins, the decision was made to remove the specific number of those federally designated institutions, but keep the rest of the language in that section. So doing this does two things. One, it corrects the factual error and ensures that the resolution will not become quickly dated. So therefore, the version of the resolution that is before you today includes each of those changes that I have just covered. And lastly, during this committee's discussion at that meeting, the possibility of requiring the board to engage in anti-racist and anti-bias training rather than encouraging it to do so was addressed. However, the committee did not direct staff to make this change to the resolution in its approved motion. So therefore, Chair Perkins requested that as part of this agenda item, the committee also discuss and outline next steps to formally establish anti-bias and anti-racist training for the board. And with that, Madam Chair, that concludes my remarks. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I would like to entertain a motion for acceptance of the document.
Motion to approve.
I'd like to make a motion.
I heard a motion from Regent Vice Chair Arascada, and did I hear the second from Regent McMichael?
Yes, second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Oh, come on up. Welcome, the co-chair for the IDEA Council.
Okay, thank you. For the record, Gail Rappa, RAPPA coordinator for the Humanities Center at Great Basin College, chair of the Ideas Committee at GBC, and NSHE Idea Council co-chair. I want to take this opportunity to welcome all of our visitors to ELCO, those attending both live and virtually. We at GBC are so proud of our beautiful campus, and it is such a pleasure to be able to show it off again. On behalf of the IDEA Council, I would like to thank Chair Perkins and the IDEA Committee members for their continued dedication towards ensuring that the NSHE anti-discrimination resolution moved from an idea to a reality. This resolution's clear and specific language is an important step towards ensuring that, as the resolution states, quote, the NSHE community, the state of Nevada, and our nation's future requires that systemic bias and institutional discrimination be dismantled, unquote. This document will provide the much-needed consistent framework for accountability for all of our NSHE institutions and will positively impact the surrounding communities they serve. Again, for the record, this resolution has been vetted through the Cabinet, IDEA Council, the Council of Presidents, Student Leaders, Faculty Senate, NSHE Legal, as well as many different external community groups as requested by Regent Perkins. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much. And I have a comment from Regent Carvalho, Vice Chair Carvalho.
Thank you, Chair Perkins. Even though I'm not on this committee, I just wanted to say that I'm in full support of this, and I truly appreciate the work that was put into this. Thank you for for your efforts on this, including external groups and all of the groups within ENCHI. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have a motion on the floor and a second. All those in favor in accepting the resolution, signify by saying aye.
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 I vote aye as well. Any opposed? Woohoo, that motion carries. Thank you. Thank you. And the second half of this agenda item is training for regents. With that, I'd like to open it up for discussion to see if what we have, has anybody thought about things that are necessary or they would have liked to have had when they came on board? Some of the specifically concerning anti-bias or an anti-bias and anti-racism training. Chair McAdoo.
I'm not actually on the committee either. However, I have actually taken many anti-bias trainings as a regent, and every single one of them have been provided by a professor, a faculty member, someone associated with our institutions. So I would like to say that I believe we have a wealth of knowledge in that training within all eight of our institutions. That is not to say that every single person at every single institution has taken it, but I would like to see us use those that have trained before in that. I just think we just have it available to us, and every training I've taken really, really helped me. One was a whole semester long, and others have been 15-minute increments, 30 minutes, an hour, those things. So I would just encourage us to look within to get that assistance. Thank you.
Thank you. I agree. We have a lot of wealth and knowledge, wealth of knowledge in our system. Sorry. I see Vice Chair Carvalho.
Thank you. I echo what Chair McAdoo said. Within our IDEA Council, we have so much expertise and knowledge, and I would strongly encourage us to lean on them. I would also suggest that we should have regular training on anti-bias and anti-discrimination. And I think it would be very helpful to do that before we commence searches. I did do that when we commenced the search for our Nevada State president. And I think that having those reminders, especially when we have people in front of us or we're looking at resumes, CVs, to have anti-biased that training in the back of our mind. I think that's a very important part of the hiring practice is to do so in an environment that recognizes others for who they are, but also doesn't exclude anybody as well. So I would recommend doing that before we commence searches. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you. I know. What is your title? Chancellor, Acting Chancellor Aragao. Please teach me how to say your last name.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Dale Urquiaga, Acting Chair. I can't even get my title right now that I got my name right. Acting Chancellor. So I just wanted to offer to the committee, I've been watching this resolution, and I'm impressed with your discussion about your own training. And we will begin an initiative at System Administration and System Computing Services in this next quarter for this training at the staff level. And so the things that we learn in our trainings and the opportunities that we find with our IDEA Council, because folks, I'm coming to you to help us with that training. I'm happy to share with the board. We could help you therefore prepare it for board orientation. And certainly because staff would often staff your searches, we could provide that. So my thanks to the group for this work. We'll spend this last quarter of the calendar year in this kind of training, and I'll be happy to bring that forward. And while I have the microphone, so I don't bumble the next time I turn on the microphone with my name and title. I just want to acknowledge Mr. Williams. Chillery has stepped into this role in addition to all the other things he does for us, and he spends time with me whenever I'm in Las Vegas, sort of walking me through the import of these issues and things that I could do to support this committee, the board, and my staff. So I might want to recognize you, Tillery. Thank you so much. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for those comments. So with that, can I request staff to put together some type of training and then come back to this committee? Okay. Say that one more time. Thank you. Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Chair Perkins. I am also not on this committee, but I just wanted to lend my full support. I think we really needed to have this resolution. I know there was a lot of thought and time went into it, and I know that our former Constance Brooks, I forget her title, but she put a lot of heart and soul into this, so I'm really pleased this has come forward and passed the board. And I'd like to just say, you know, our board comes from many different generations, and sometimes we don't know what we don't know. I mean, truly. And we've been raised in different eras and times, and the world has changed. You look at surveys, and things that used to be taboo are now accepted. You think about where we were with marijuana, where we probably were with abortion, and on and on. And I think it's just incumbent upon us as regents, and thank you, Acting Chancellor Ariakwa, for recognizing that, because I've also always said that the board needs so much more training. And, you know, I loved the presentation on the micro and macro aggression, but we really need to have a workshop where we can just sit down and talk about it and have examples and, you know, just learn that way. So I really look forward to a whole bunch more training in this arena, and especially with four new regents coming on board in January, that this needs to be part of our regent orientation. And we have fabulous resources within our ENCHI system. We don't need to go out and hire any consultants. Thank you, Mr. Williams. I think it's Mr. Williams. And each institution has very committed advocates in this arena. And we just all need to learn and be more kinder and accepting of each other. So thank you for bringing this resolution forward and passing it today.
Thank you for those comments. Any further comments from any member present? Seeing none, do we need to take a vote on that second half, the training for regents?
Ms. Perkins, it was an agenda item for action.
Okay.
So it could be suggested under new business so we could start a list as a relisting, and then we could go from there.
Thank you so much. So let's move on to item number four, ENCHI Idea Council work priorities for the fiscal year 2023. Dana Trimble is doing the presentation. She's in Reno.
Got it. Good morning. Can you hear me? Just making sure. Looks like we're good. Good morning. For the record, Dana Trimble, Idea Council Chair and DRI's Diversity Officer. On behalf of the Idea Council, I want to thank Chair Perkins and the other Idea Committee members for giving me the opportunity to present the Idea Council's priorities for fiscal year 2023. The Idea Council, formerly known as EDIC, is made up of representatives from each institution who are champions of Idea principles. Many of these representatives are here today, and I'm going to list them all, but if they're in attendance, either virtually or in the room, please wave, stand up. Tillery Williams, who has stepped into this role, and we're very grateful he's been catching everybody up, and we appreciate that. Tillery Williams and Laura Orbis from the ENCHI System Office. My co-chairs, Gail Rappa, who you heard from earlier, and Arista Brick from GBC. Dr. Marcela Rodriguez-Campo, who presented earlier on the micro and macro aggressions. Appreciate that, Marcela. Amy Avaluna and Dr. Edith Fernandez from NSC. Yvonne Allen and Juana Reynosa Gomez from TMCC. Saval Yildirim from UNLV, Dr. Angela Moore from UNR, and Angela Holt from WNC. And I just want to acknowledge how much I appreciate this group. They are amazing. As you know, idea work is very difficult, and it often takes time to see progress. But it is also very rewarding to be part of a group so committed to improving the lives of our students, faculty, and staff. I want to personally thank each of our Idea Council members for their support and dedication to ensuring ENSHE's idea priorities continue to move forward in order to make ENSHE a leader in idea initiatives. I also want to provide some history of the Idea Council. The Council was first added to the bylaws of the Board of Regents in 2008 and was established, as stated in Title IV, Chapter 8, Section 5, to review, evaluate, and as needed, formulate additional proposed ENSHE inclusion, diversity, equity, and access goals, policies, and practices, provide statewide leadership in best practice. This council reports to the chancellor and is charged with the following: make recommendations to the chancellor and the Board of Regents on proposed goals, policies, practices, strategies, and accountability measures on IDEA; review existing IDEA-related policies and provide recommendations for updates as needed; provide opportunities for communication between institutions and share best practices; support and monitor the Board of Regents' goals and strategies for IDEA; encourage regular collaboration between institutions; and support you, the IDEA committee, and provide updates and help you move your ideas forward as well. The IDEA Council has multiple initiatives currently in progress, but for the sake of time, this is a busy group, for the sake of time, I will highlight just a few of our priorities. The anti-discrimination resolution, this has been a big one. As you know, we've been working on this since January. We work closely with the System Office and Regent Perkins, and we sincerely appreciate your efforts to ensure a strong statement condemning anti-discriminatory language was brought forward for a vote by the IDEA Committee and now to the Board. So thank you. ENSHE Equity Statement. ENSHE currently has no published public equity statement. These are common among higher education institutions. In February of 2021, the IDEA Committee approved directing staff to develop an equity statement to be included in the handbook. In August 2021, an initial draft was presented to the IDEA Committee with input from the IDEA Council. The next planned step was to create an informal working group to edit and revise the draft. We have had additional discussion about this statement and now are working with Mr. Williams to make the draft equity statement more concise and include direct links to the handbook. We will bring this back to the IDEA Committee for your input. Next was the Juneteenth resolution. The IDEA Council will work with the IDEA Committee and the Board to draft a resolution encouraging the 2023 legislature to establish Juneteenth as a state holiday. Again, we're working with Mr. Williams to prepare a draft for your review and input. The Native American fee waiver limitations. Executive Vice Chancellor and Chief of Staff Crystal Abba reviewed fee waiver programs at yesterday's board meeting. And one key limitation of the Native American fee waiver is that it only applies in the fall and spring semesters. We would like to discuss the possibility of expanding this program to all terms. Codification of the All Access Committee. Similar to the codification of the IDEA Council, there has been discussion of doing the same for the All Access Committee. This committee was founded in 2014 and is currently a subcommittee of the IDEA Council. The mission of this committee is to build a comprehensive statewide support system for students who are undocumented or who receive Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, as well as immigrant students under other statuses. Further discussion with key ENSHE leadership groups is planned. We are also working on several other IDEA initiatives, including student loan forgiveness for permanently disabled students, how the IDEA Council can help promote ENSHE security through a DEI lens, discussing the Pell Serving Institution designation, discussing how we better serve our Native American students, and wrapping up the NASH Initiative framework on faculty and staff hiring, retention, promotion, and rewards by providing suggested goals for strategic planning. Additionally, in conversations with Mr. Williams, we have learned of other ENSHE leadership priorities, which include the equity statement mentioned earlier, Regent Arascata's request for a December report on the ENSHE institutions, DRCs, the Disability Resource Centers, Regent Carvalho's discussion of in-state tuition for refugees, and how we address pay equity as well as fairness and equity in hiring. These priorities are directly in line with many of our existing priorities, and we are looking forward to working with Acting Chancellor Urquiaga, the IDEA Committee, and other board members to move these IDEA initiatives forward. We also want you to know that we welcome your attendance and input at our monthly meetings. We want to hear your ideas. please don't hesitate to reach out to me or any of the members that I mentioned earlier with questions, suggestions, and we'd be happy to have you attend. It's critical that we work together to ensure IDEA principles are upheld and advanced within our system. And we're happy to work with you in identifying, I mean, this group has a lot of resources and we know who's available as we look forward to, you know, trying to find training for everyone in NSHE. So one last item is I just want to publicly thank Christine Hayes for her tremendous support of both the IDEA Council and the HSI Task Force. She has been more than just office support, but has provided valuable and timely input and has helped keep the Council and the HSI Task Force organized and on track. We want to wish her the best in her retirement. That concludes my remarks. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to working with you as well. Any questions at all from any member of the group or any regents in attendance?
Chair Perkins, Regent Arascotta.
Go ahead, Vice Chair Arascotta.
Ms. Trimble, can you provide the day and times of your monthly meetings?
Tillery, maybe you can help with that. I'm trying to remember what they are. They're late in the month.
Yeah, they're always the fourth Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m. Yeah.
Thank you, and thank you for that question. The HSI Task Force meets prior to the IDEA Council. So the HSI Task Force meets the hour before, and then the IDEA Council meets at 11. Thank you.
Any further questions? And with that, I'll move on to new business. From earlier, I'd like to direct staff to come up with a training plan and then come back to this committee with that. Any other new business?
New business, Chair Perkins.
Vice Chair Arascotta.
As Ms. Trimble just previously stole my thunder, I would like to request a presentation at the December meeting by the Institutional Disability Resource Center representatives on the services they provide to students with physical, visual, and hearing impairments and hearing disabilities, and the challenges those offices may face in supporting students with disabilities. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further new business? Awesome. Moving on to public comment. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas? Any public comment in Reno?
No public comment in Reno.
Any public comment in Elko? Thank you. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.